This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Tuesday, and I'm here with Sarah Haynes. This is Behind the Table. Okay, we are back. It is Tuesday. Sarah Haynes is here. Hello, Sarah.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, we're taping a little.
It was morning.
We're taping a little later than usual. We're a little out of it and dazed. I think having the day yesterday kind of threw everybody.
And the snow today.
We just had a very bad moment where the two of us were staring at our phones,
devices.
Sitting here in a closed room, and the control room had to rap on the glass to let us know it was time to start the podcast.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah,
felt like a Gen Zer.
Well, it was on brand for me. I feel like you're supposed to be more mindful.
I'm super mindful, and I was busy scrolling, and I admit I was busted.
Yeah, I kind of enjoy that. All right. Well, listen, the Iowa caucus was last night, and Trump won very quickly. You grew up in Iowa. You are the patron saint of all things Iowa. What do you know about Iowans? Is that how you say it? Iowans that maybe some of us don't understand.
I wish I could explain on the heels of a caucus, Iowans and maybe what they're thinking. That's a trickier question. One thing I do know is Iowans are very proud of their caucuses because they're rarely the special state. Everyone's eyes are on Iowa. Politicians, when I say I'm from Iowa and my town, everyone knows where it is because of these caucuses and the Iowa State Fair. But I think it's important to add some color because when you read headlines, and I work in the business, people come in and it's like, Trump swept Iowa, 66% believe in the big lie. It's important to know the context of those numbers, which is what I was offering today.
I feel like you came in fired up to defend the honor of Iowa this morning.
Well, it's more because I think that Iowa's, to some people, is an easy punching bag. I'm very proud being from the middle of the country and, you know, all the parts of the state. I feel I was lucky to be part of that state with all the, you know, I knew a lot of really good, hardworking people that are very simple and aren't trying to be anything else. And that resonates with me. I like it.
So growing up, the caucuses are a thing.
If you're huge.
In Iowa, you know about the caucuses from an early age. It's all.
Yeah, because you also know, like, in my life, I was so excited because I remember, like, shaking Bob Dole's hand or, you know, it was a big deal. And I think the headlines, as someone who's, like anyone else, lived through this time and is not a fan of Donald Trump, watching those headlines make it sound like the entire state endorsed him, I also feel a little onus or responsibility to clear that up, that only 5% of the voting population, 5% to be, participates in the caucuses. And this was a Republican caucus, and only 13% of registered Republican voters in the state voted. So I just think it's important to have context for those numbers. Yes, he swept the caucuses. Yes, it may not be shocking. It might have been predicted, but it is not representative of the entire state and what they're thinking. And so I just think it's important to distinguish that.
And the fact that Iowa goes first for the Republicans and did for a long time for the Democrats is a real point of pride, I think, right? That's something that was important.
It is. Iowa doesn't have professional teams. Like, no one's checking on Iowa. We have Caitlin Clark, who is as good as that. She's University of Iowa Hawkeye women's basketball player. Check her out.
And you have the Field of Dreams game, which is
Field of
cool.
Dreams, you know, so we, and people ask every Iowan if they've ever seen it, but we don't have things. People, it's a flyover state. The joking t-shirts we wear make fun of the fact we recognize many people are like, wow, I've never been there. And I'm like, shocker. Like, not many people have. My own husband has yet to be in Iowa because my family's not there.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Really?
He's dying to go. He went to Chicago. And that's a city that is not exactly Iowa. And everyone was so kind. He comes back and he's like, I used to think you were special, but after going to Chicago, I realized everyone's like you
in the Midwest. Is great. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was just saying, like, he wants to go. But Iowa mocks itself, we know, but to have the caucuses, it puts us on the map for a lot of people.
Right, and of course, home of Sarah Haynes Day.
That's Newton, Iowa. Nobody celebrates that, but I'm really grateful to the mayor for naming it that.
Yes, I am too. I think that's fantastic.
Anyone celebrating that day was already celebrating my birthday elsewhere in their lives, so we're good.
No, I actually abstain from your birthday, but celebrate Sarah Haynes Day officially, which is an odd choice, but it's a choice I make. All right,
I like
who else is famous from Iowa?
Elijah Wood. Jason Momoa mm-hmm. is from Iowa.
Okay.
Ronald Reagan was a DJ in Iowa. I think Hoover is from Iowa.
Hoover?
Former president.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I don't know if
Herbert Hoover.
like Beyonce?
We don't have a Beyonce.
No, but Hoover, you just go last name.
Sorry, I was thinking because I grew up
like
on these names.
Drake.
Yeah.
Hoover.
Oprah Hoover.
Yeah, okay.
No, it's Herbert Hoover, I think, is from. I can't think of anyone else.
All right. So you're in good company.
I wouldn't put myself in those. In that,
yeah, I wouldn't.
Yeah,
either. I wouldn't either.
Jason Momoa, did you hear that part?
Yeah, I did. I like that.
Super
one.
Hot.
All right,
he's really from there, guys.
Very exciting on the show tomorrow, Vice
oh,
President.
Wait,
of the
I can't
States.
Forget.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go
oh
ahead.
My God, Sean Johnson, gymnast.
Oh, sure.
Sorry, I feel like yeah. I would not
gold
be
gold medal winner.
Yeah. Yes, amazing person, Iowan.
Yeah, done. I've met her too. Actually, small world. I've held her gold
she's
medal.
She's so she's cool.
Yeah,
and she's a proud. Like we're proud of her.
That's awesome. All right. Speaking of things we're proud about, tomorrow on the
Ashton
show.
Ashton Kutcher. Sorry, one more. Ashton Kutcher and his lesser known twin brother. But they are from Iowa for sure. Sorry.
All right,
okay,
that's
now
exciting.
I'm done. I peaked.
Okay, who's number one? Momoa?
Momoa.
Momoa, okay.
I had to look that up because I didn't believe it.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, Jason Momoa is not from Iowa. He is. He
you
is.
Should start telling people you went to prom with him or something. Like, we should just start that.
If rumor. I could be someone he would eye and invite to prom, sure. I could have peaked early.
Okay, things that are exciting, things I'm excited about. Tomorrow on the program, Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, is on the show. Now, we have big politicians on this
yeah.
show. We have big stars on this show. But there's something very special when you have a sitting president or vice president on the show.
Yep.
It's a whole different experience. When you started out as an NBC page, did you ever think that you'd be interviewing the Vice President of the United States?
Hard no, and I never thought I'd be sitting next to Whoopi Goldberg.
Sure.
I didn't think I'd meet Whoopi Goldberg. The amount of like pinchable moments I've had in this career never ceased to amaze me. I used to joke at NBC that I could relate more to the people on the plaza looking in the window mm-hmm. than I could anyone on that set looking out. And I don't mean just the people on air. I meant a crew member, a props person, an intern, a page. I was like, who are they? I want to be one of them. Mm-hmm. So never imagine sitting in an interview. And I mean, I did get an interview remotely, Vice President Harris, but I didn't get to see President Biden when he was here. I saw him when he was vice president. I didn't get to see President Obama, President Clinton.
So this is exciting.
This
to sit
is
at the
exciting.
Table with the sitting vice president for the first time and do an interview. I'm excited
yeah.
for you. So what are you looking forward to talking to her about?
I feel like on the heels of this caucus, I'd love for her to shed some light on, you know, why we're still witnessing this divide in the country. But specifically, an article that Alyssa alerted me to, or maybe, no, it was actually in our packet, but Alyssa, this independence, the Democrats fleeing the Democratic Party to be independents. That shocks me a little bit because in my mind, I can comprehend Republicans becoming independents more right now because of the divide within the party.
Mm-hmm.
You can be unhappy, but I did not, you know, we've reported that Democrats, younger Democrats, people are losing some of the enthusiasm, but dividing the party by becoming independents was a little more surprising to me.
Despite someone who's, you've said this, I think, voted Democrat many times, you
yeah.
consider yourself an independent.
I am a registered independent for good reason, because I feel that to identify as one of the parties oversimplifies that you believe the policy on that side. And I feel very strongly I would not say that I tend to be moderate on the things I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
But some of those issues fall on different sides of the aisle. So I feel the most honest registration is independent for me.
Yeah. No, I think depending on the conversation people kind of view you one way or the other.
Oh my gosh, someone just trolled me about being super woke. And I was like, huh? Like, depending on the day, no one knows what I am.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem. No one can comprehend who you are if you are not on one of the more extreme sides of the party, which I am not.
No. All right. Well, I'm excited to have her here. It's always exciting because I feel like we ask questions that the people at home really, it's different than Meet the Press. I feel like we're having important questions and the questions that need to be asked. But
yeah.
at the same time, we come at it from a different angle usually. And really the things that people are wondering about at home, and it's in a plain spoken way. And I think
more
it's really
conversational.
Important.
Yeah. Because when
so.
I watch, you lose me a little bit on some of those political shows because it's like going to a yoga class where everyone pretends they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
In Meet the Press and a lot of those shows, everyone has to fall in line, dress a certain way, and it's a little stiff for me.
Yeah, we get to see a little bit more of their personalities here, and
I like that we sometimes hear about their kids, their partners, their I want to know they're humans. In fact, that's sometimes lacking in what I see on TV. I want to know that.
Right. And there's always there's always tough questions at The View, no matter what party you're from, because we've got different perspectives at the table. So it's always must-see TV. So I'm really excited for it.
I'm very excited.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
This is Sunny Hostin. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging, so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/view. Just go to Indeed.com/view right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/view. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Shopify. Ready to make the smartest choice for your business? Say hello to Shopify, the global commerce platform that makes selling a breeze. Whether you're starting your online shop, opening your first physical store, or hitting a million orders, Shopify is your growth partner. Sell everywhere with Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. Turn browsers into buyers with Shopify's best converting checkout, 36% better than other platforms. Effortlessly sell more with Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Did you know Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and supports global brands like Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen? Join millions of successful entrepreneurs across 175 countries backed by Shopify's extensive support and help resources. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Start your success story today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/view. Put it all in lowercase. Go to shopify.com/view now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/view.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yesterday was Martin Luther King Day, and you asked your son Alec and your daughter Sandra about Dr. King, and we have a clip of what they said.
Oh, gosh.
Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and it's a celebration.
Do you know why Martin Luther King fought for certain things? Because he didn't think you should have to sit in certain...
Oh, because color of skin was just like you were born with color of skin, and that doesn't mean anything. It's just color.
Right.
Like, even if you're just thinking about color, if you thought about black, you would have to be in the other side of the table, like...
Yeah, and imagine if...
And Martin Luther King Jr. said, that is not correct.
You don't have school tomorrow, why not?
Because it's Martin Luther King Day. He's the person who gave a dream speech.
What do you think of Dr. Martin Luther King?
Helpful, a hero.
A hero. Remember when you talked about the bus? Do you know someone who got up on a bus? Rosa.
Rosa Parks.
Rosa Parks. What do you think Rosa Parks was feeling when someone said, because your skin is different?
She was feeling like this isn't fair. Can you give me some questions about animals now?
Well, sure. Who doesn't like talking about animals? But that's really impressive. So that was Alec, the second clip.
And yes, yeah.
Sandra, the first one. How old are they now?
They are, Alec is 7 and Sandra is a brand new 6.
Okay. So now what they know about these things, is this from school? Is this from you and Max sitting down and talking to them about
why
we have this day and what it means and talking to them about it? I mean, these are tough conversations to have with kids.
So it's both. Mm-hmm. I commend the schools, the teachers, the things they're learning. They introduced me to different holidays because they say hi in about 10 languages to try to teach people that you can say, you know, different things. My son said goodbye to his friend the other day and he said, I think it's Mi Hao or something. And he was like, what are you saying? He goes, Andrew's Chinese, mom. Like, and it was so cute that they learned that. I think it's important as a parent to teach them when a holiday rolls around that I think they need to learn about. Obviously, they know Christmas and they know, you know, mm-hmm. but I want them to know Juneteenth and I want them to know things that I didn't know growing up. So I like to discuss it to make sure it's also sinking in. The school does the great work of introducing it. I do the work of let's talk about more of the how it feels.
Right.
What you think.
In my head, you're doing a little like Hot Topics conversation around the kitchen table now with your kids, which I really enjoy that.
Well, I loved it. Their hearts are young people, not just my kids, mm-hmm. have such beautiful, untapped, unruined hearts. They're not cynical. They're pure. They love so freely that to hear them describe these things is just, it's enlightening to people that have built walls up around themselves. And I want to clear up one thing on the MLK Day show. I said something about kids should feel bad about slavery. I think, one, I don't think I was very clear, so it's my fault I didn't say it well. But the clarification there is, I remember reading about history and being very uncomfortable learning about it. Because just like my kids, Sandra, you see a clip of that. That was a 6.5-minute conversation with her.
Sure.
Trying to understand different things and why they would do it. And so when you go into those conversations, the kids express a little bit more of like injustice. That's not right. That's not. I remember the Holocaust. I could barely watch the videos that they show. And so what my point was is learning is uncomfortable if you're looking at history and including it. And, you know, it's going to be uncomfortable, but it's a privilege to only have to watch it from a distance. Like, people lived those moments. So I don't mind if my kids are uncomfortable. That's what I was saying, is I don't think every kid should sit around, but I do question if your kid doesn't feel bad reading or have feelings in response to these stories, because an empathetic human should feel certain things.
No, absolutely. And, you know, with kids, they process things differently. And of course, history feels like a long time ago, no matter what you're talking about. I've had similar, my daughters are 12 and 9, so, you know, they've learned about the Holocaust in school and things like that. But then also just talking to them about 9/11, which is, you know, I was in my 20s and working in New York City when that happened, and just trying to make sense of things that don't make any sense of why things could happen like that. And it's tough. And it's a different conversation when it's something you lived through, but they haven't.
Yep.
As opposed to something that's in a history book or something that you've heard from family that you went through or mm-hmm. things like that. It's really a challenging part of being a parent, but a rewarding one, I think.
Well, one time, so Justin Bieber opens one of his songs with a Martin Luther King. It's an audio of him. And a year or two, I think it was a year ago, Alex said to me, Mama, that's Dr. Martin Luther King. And I was like, yeah, that is. And he's like, had you ever heard him before? It just created this curiosity question. At one point I asked him, what do you know about Dr. King? And he said, he was a leader and he was shot by a bad man. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what happened. He goes, Mama, I want to lead, but I don't want to be shot. And to try to have those conversations are so hard because, you know, they always bump into things that you aren't quite sure age appropriate, like mm-hmm. someone dying, death, not being, you know. And so hearing my kids talk about skin color, I was wary because I know they look at people from different points. And a part of me feels, when you talk about it, are you introducing it?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing how quickly they understood at school really opened the door for me to talk about that and equate other things that are born into you. The color of your eyes, like the social experiment, the hair, trying to really bring it back to history was based on the color of skin. Can you imagine anyone just popping out and saying arbitrarily, you know, you're a problem? And they really own that injustice. They feel it to their bones. And that's what gives me hope when people question progress in this country or will we ever be to another place. I look at young people and they inspire so much hope.
Yeah, I always struggle with the, you know, there's the instinct to protect your kids as long as possible, shelter them as long as possible from difficult conversations and difficult things. But at a certain point, as you're saying, you'd start to do them a disservice by doing that.
Yeah.
You have to really expose them to the world and,
yep.
and to try to do it in a way that they can learn and not be overwhelmed by it, but at the same time, have those tough conversations.
Books are so helpful because one of my favorite perk of this job is we have to read a ton. We have to watch a ton. The children's book that come through here have my children's bookshelves looking like nothing I had growing up. And they talk. They, you know, one of their favorite things is the She Persisted series.
Sure. Mine too, actually.
Yeah. And the small, like, bite-sized digestible versions of, we have the Justice Sotomayor book. Mm-hmm. We have, like, you name it, and we have those books. Those stories are a really great way of coming into a child's mind and asking questions. So the books have been a huge teacher in their lives as well.
All right. Switching gears for a minute. We talked about some things on the show that would also come with questions if your children heard about them. We talked about open marriages. Now, is this something you would ever consider with Max? You said on the show, probably not because of jealousy.
I actually see why it works.
Mm-hmm.
I 100% get it. And I have zero judgment. I know that my inability when I'm not at full strength to feel jealousy or to be insecure or worried that someone's coming along that Max would prefer, like, that stuff would haunt me to a point that is just not worth it. It's just not worth it. But I get it. I actually think when you see these couples and—
So devoid of emotion or anything else, logically, you
logically,
think it makes
sense. Logically, I get it.
Yeah.
Because men were literally evolved to perpetuate the species, which means have as much sex as they can. Women were stunted with, I will plant a seed and you're going to sit on your butt for 10 months until you push out one baby. So we are literally created for different things. And therefore, when you think of monogamy in a heterosexual relationship, there's going to be tension in that area.
So you're watching a documentary on sister wives and you're thinking, okay, I could do this.
Yeah.
All right.
Honestly. The thing I don't want to know is know the people. So the sister wives, when they all hang, I don't really want to hang with the people that are.
Yeah. All right. So that's interesting.
Yeah. I don't want to see them.
Yeah.
I don't want to have visuals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to know them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to
hear about it.
I don't want to hear about it for sure. Just let it be this invisible presence. But I have also, just to be clear, in case Max is listening, this is not the situation we are in. He is not allowed to do that.
Okay.
Let's just make sure the one person that needs to know that this was not a hall pass. This
right.
is not a pass at all. This was all hypothetical.
Right. So any lawyers that are seizing this podcast later for any kind of evidence.
It's honestly the gay male community. They are the ones that would eat him first. Like,
okay.
He is really a big deal in that. And I'm always like, I'm so proud of you, Max.
Oh, that's nice.
It's not just the women. It's the men that come for him.
There we go. All right. We had another topic on the list today that we didn't get to about if you should tell a recently engaged friend that they could do better. Would you ever do this?
No. So if my friend asked me, what do you think?
Yes.
I would answer. The problem is there's no way this is coming out of the blue. When you're in friend groups and people are coming and this friend group that wants to tell their friend this said, the partner's annoying. They don't like him.
Right.
You've picked up on that vibe. Everyone knows when they're bringing the person that no one approves of. Like, you do know. I've been that person. You know. You probably also know you could do better. You're making a choice. Sometimes in life, it's not your journey.
Mm-hmm.
You will need to learn on your own. Because unless you're asking me, you risk pushing the friend away.
But if someone says to you, like, what do you think of Joe? And you don't like Joe.
Okay, so I would say, can I be really honest here?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I guess. Sure.
I love you. I think you're an amazing man, Brian. I don't think Joe is right for you because, but I said, I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. this is your private, but the things I notice are, it really drives me crazy when you're out and we don't get to see your light because he's dimming it. We don't get to see you're doing drugs. That's one of the things in the note. Joe has you doing a lot of drugs. You never seemed that interested. You know, like all the different scenarios.
Who the hell do you think you are, Sarah Haynes?
I think the point here is they know better and they are choosing not to.
Right. And if they do ask, you think they're looking for help getting out of it, maybe?
If they really ask, I don't think they're really going to ask. That's my point here.
Okay.
They don't want your opinion. So go ahead and let them do them because it's their journey, not yours.
Well, listen, we covered a lot of stuff today.
As we do.
We talked about parenting. We talked
caucuses.
Thank you for joining me, Sarah. Tomorrow, I'll be back here with Joy to talk about our interview with the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, and so many other things. In the meantime, if you have a question or want advice from me, I don't know why you'd want it from me, or a co-host, please check the episode description for the number to our Behind the Table hotline. Very excited about this. We're going to have people calling in.
We've seen some of these. These are fun.
Yeah, so far so good. I'm excited to start bringing them out. So please call in. Thank you for listening. And if you get a moment, make sure you follow the podcast. If you don't know how to follow the podcast, it's easy. Just put it into your Apple podcast app, your Spotify app, wherever you listen to it, and click follow or subscribe. Thank you so much and see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.